And Liz Claman's going to be on. And a guy with the number one selling nonfiction hardcover book in the country, Mark Levin, is going to be on tomorrow as well. So, the boy is... His book has been number one for 4 or 5 weeks, hasn't it?
That is correct.
Liberty and Tyranny, Mark Levin. David Bigelow is the son of Ruth and David Bigelow. Went to Yale University and then led Bigelow Tea for 40 years. Mr. Bigelow has written a book called My Mother Loved Tea, the story of Ruth Bigelow and how she changed the way Americans enjoy tea. Please welcome to the Armstrong Morning Program, David Bigelow. Good morning, Mr. Bigelow.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
I'm sorry for saying your mom was drunk. So.
No problem. You know, whatever it took to concoct that lovely formula that she gave us all those many years ago, we're happy.
Why don't you pull the mic a little closer to yourself?
Yeah, sure. Okay.
You think Charles would help you, but of course Charles is...
Why does it turn on to me now?
Yeah, right.
Why wouldn't you help Mr. Bigelow?
Why in God's name would it turn to me
when
you suddenly say, why don't you pull the microphone? And I start to lean toward Mr. Bigelow to do just that, and you suddenly go, you would think that Charles would get that.
Well, you would.
Why is that?
I don't know. I'm sorry you have to be in the middle of this bickering.
He's our tea drinker.
Holy cow. I'm sorry, Mr. Bigelow.
Charles, we have to respect you. You're our major tea drinker here.
Do you, you know, I drink it, too. I drink Bigelow green tea.
Do you?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Since I got cancer, I started drinking green tea.
Wow.
So, you know, actually, of course, my wife had been trying to get me to drink it forever. And I remember when you guys first advertised when we were at FAN, I didn't know anything about Bigelow tea. So I called my wife and said, is this stuff any good? She says, why don't you look in the cabinet? It was full of it. So we were drinking it before you guys became a sponsor.
Right, right. Well, that's wonderful.
When your mother was out in the kitchen, that famous story, and came up with, took the black tea and mixed it with orange rind and some other spices, was she trying to come up with it?
She was literally, she didn't like black. Black tea was the dominant tea in those days. It was all black tea when you went to the grocery store. There was no such thing as a specialty tea.
Right.
And she really didn't care for black tea as it was. It was too astringent, too strong for her. She was looking for a nice, smooth-tasting tea with a new, interesting flavor. And so that's when she heard about this recipe that was popular in the colonial times down in Virginia and whatever, where they used to, literally in the 1600s, were mixing orange peel and spices. She just latched onto that in a heartbeat, and that's what she was trying to recreate. She went into the kitchen all by herself, no help, nobody, because my father was the only person that was there anyway, and I know he wouldn't have been any help because he was not a person around food, and so she did it all on her own.
So she was, but she wasn't trying to create a company. She was just trying to create a tea that she could drink.
No, she was, after 30 years as a decorator, she was trying to create a food company.
She literally said
to all of us, we are going to start a food company, R.C. Bigelow, and that's what she did. And trust me, that was the impossible. She literally was trying the impossible, and she succeeded. That's basically why I wrote the book, because somebody had to tell that story. It was just so phenomenal.
Well, it is it's an unbelievable story.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, not too many people get an idea and actually ever see it come to fruition, and she did. Yeah.
I'm always amazed by people who have great ideas, and they seem so obvious. Like Richard Santulli at NetJets, they back in '86 came up with fractional aircraft ownership, which you could analogize or compare to, say, a timeshare at your condo in Florida or Aspen or someplace.
Right.
But he was the one who thought to apply it to jets. Or the guy from, like the guy from Lumber Liquidators who, I mean, you figure you'd get hardwood from Tom Sullivan. You get hardwood flooring anywhere. You go to Home Depot or Lowe's or your local lumber. So he decided that that's all he would sell. Well, if you'd asked me to invest in that, I'd have said, no, I'm not going to do that. And here's your mom out in the kitchen, and I'm but just no.
I wrote that in the book. I said it was a lucky thing. I was in college at the time, and I said it was a lucky thing I wasn't there when she started this company, because I'd have been going like, oh, my God, this is not such a good idea.
Well, so what happened after she came up with something she liked?
Well, I mean,
who named it Constant Comment?
Well, she was looking for a name, and she gave the tea to a friend, and the friend served it at an afternoon tea party and came back and reported to her that, Ruth, your tea created a lot of constant comment. And she wanted a name that implied popularity, right? And so she just went boom. She just landed on constant comment. And nobody could deter her. Years and years went by, and all the advertising folks and all those people would say, that's not a very good name. It's not very descriptive. It doesn't tell you what it is. Sorry about that. It's constant comment. Let's live with it here. And we have. We never changed the formula, and obviously we never changed the name. And the company has just grown and grown and grown. Now, that's something none of us ever envisioned, even when we were, we were just trying to have a business. But what happened was revolutionary because the tea drinkers of the world came to know that there was something other than black tea out there. And now, believe it or not, of all the tea bags sold in the United States, over 60% of them are now a specialty or non-black tea. Believe it or not, it's incredible. Herbal teas and green teas and all of our and others, other people's flavored teas and whatever.
Talking with David Bigelow, he's written a book about his mom and about the Bigelow Tea Company. My mother loved tea. Well, what happened? So she comes up with the tea, her friend serves it at a garden party or wherever, and then what happened?
Well, she packed it in this little can. I brought the little can just to show you. The can was a very plain can, and we sold it in Bloomingdale's. Bloomingdale's had a – we were on 60th Street, just on 2nd Avenue. And
right.
Bloomingdale's was literally a block away, so she went down, and Bloomingdale's took it. And so my father, I was telling everybody outside, hand-painted that label. They had no money for painting or coloring a label. And so he would sit in the evening and color these labels. And my mother would sit in the evening doing handbills that she would send out to people's names who appeared in the social section of the Herald Tribune. You know, if you were getting married or whatever, she'd look up your name in the phone book and you'd get a little handmade flyer that she must have done thousands of those things. And she'd send them to you. There was no coupons. There was no discounts. It was just saying it's at Bloomingdale's or it's at Altman's or whatever. And that's how she got started. It was very, very marginal.
Why has it remained in the family? I mean, you obviously have had an opportunity to sell it to everybody, so.
You know what? I don't know. I was very fortunate to find my wife, Eunice. The two of us did this after my mother and father passed away. The two of us did this for about 40 years.
Wow.
We worked well together. It was fun to do. Why sell it? I mean, why sell it? Money,
sure.
Money can't buy you what we have every day. Just fun working together. And now our two daughters are in there. And so they're, Cindy's running the company. Lori's running the plantation down in the Carolinas.
I like Cindy. She's great.
Yeah, Cindy will be here, I guess, next week.
Won't she? Well, for the radiothon.
She'll be here.
Yeah, I'm enormously.
You're going to get a lot of Bigelows here at the least.
That's fine with me. No, I appreciate it. We appreciate your business all over the years at FAN and, of course, here at ABC. I certainly appreciate the family's loyalty during a pretty tough time.
We also appreciate what you have done for us because, trust me, we are now the number one green tea in the New York area. Believe it or not, we are number one. We sell more green tea than any other brand, including the big boys. And that's all thanks to you. Great deal of that is thanks to you.
You're more than kind and probably too kind.
No, I don't think so. No, I'll tell you, many people here, they come to me and they say, I heard Imus talk about you, and really.
Now, I am an enormously powerful person, you're right. No, I'm just kidding. We're talking with David Bigelow, whose book, My Mother Loved Tea, the story of his mom, Ruth Bigelow, who we've made good natured fun of, I guess, or... Unlike some other times, we get peaches.
My mother was known to have a glass of sherry
I think
we can allow this.
I mean, not patronizing you at all, but I've just always been intrigued by. It's like I told, again, mentioning Tom Sullivan at Lumber Liquidators. I told him, I said, some commercials are fun to do, some aren't. But it's fun to tell those kinds of stories. His story or Santulli's story at NetJets or your guy's story, just because I actually think it inspires people. Because you still, in 2009 in this country, there can still be a Bigelow tea story out there. So.
Yep. We're still a family. We still make our own decisions. We really are devoted to our products, And it's a good thing.
Another great story is PC Richard and Son, where they've got the electronics chain. They've been in business 99 years, still run by the family.
Wow.
So no board of directors saying, "Well, why don't you put the Sonys on sale?" So we have service on. So I met with Greg Richards here about a month ago, and he said, "If people knew what I know about the company, they wouldn't buy anything anyplace else." And it's the same with Bigelow Tea. If people knew how the company's run and the fact that you all do it because you like doing it and that you take special care to go. I mean, I know it's not like I'm doing a commercial now, but to go all over the world and buy the best teas.
Yeah, right.
And then over-wrap them so they're fresh and stuff, not dry like some of these other teas you get. They wouldn't buy any other tea. That's why the green tea is number one in New York. It ought to be number one in the country. So
it's doing very well. Thank you. It's doing very well. I'm glad that you are enjoying it. That's wonderful to hear.
I'm not enjoying it.
Oh, you're not enjoying it. Okay, sorry.
No, I have cancer. So I'm drinking the tea because I'm trying to battle and heal my cancer, which I'm doing.
I'm sorry.
I do like it. Now, you know what I do? I put lemon in it.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it tastes great. So, anyway, well, nice to see you. Thanks for being a great sport.
Thank you
very much for your business. We do appreciate it. That's not why I put you on, but it's a fascinating story, and thank you for coming in and sharing some of it with us.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
David Bigelow, the book's called My Mother Loved Tea. Just an inspiring book.
Particularly for this moment this recession.
If you're sitting at home figuring, what the hell are you going to do with your life, and maybe you got an idea to start something, use this as a template to figure out how to do it. My Mother Loved Tea from David Bigelow. It's 11 minutes till the hour.